Hello, welcome to this week's Sunday Supplement. It's your regular look back at the events of the past 7 days and you look forward to what's coming up over the next week. The team this week is travel and business editor Amy Bold and video journalist James Shaw. A busy week, I think, on the news front, I suppose dominated by Peter Sutcliffe and Raoul Moat.
Yeah, sure. I mean, Peter Sutcliffe, I don't think that's any real surprise. There was no tariff set on him when he was first sent down, although I think the judge at the time recommended he serve about 30 years. But of course, the news that he's not going to be allowed out, you know, anytime soon, for the rest of his life, I don't think was unexpected.
And Raoul Moat, I suppose the thing that's changed during the latter part of, you know, the end of last week was that he went from being a villain to hero, bizarrely, with a Facebook page where people were paying tribute to him, but of course Cameron objecting to that and saying nonsense.
Exactly, but Facebook didn't take it down. It was down to the person who set it up in the first place. I just find it absolutely bizarre that anybody could do that. To give him a hero-like status. I did hear something on the radio saying, well, he wasn't a bad man. He'd only got so and so many convictions. And you're just thinking, well, even one surely is a bit iffy. So I think it's very strange. I think there's probably a lot down to the fact with 24-hour news and the fact that, you know, people watched this standoff as it happened. And then, of course, you know, heard the shots. I think a lot of it's down to people feel more involved in it had they not have watched it unfold on the TV.
Yeah, it's
almost like watching a film, isn't it, on Sky News?
Yeah.
I was watching another Sky channel, and it flashed up, Raoul Moat cornered.
Mm.
So we switched over to Sky News to watch it, and, you know, millions of people probably did that.
Yeah, and stayed up. Yeah.
That was the point his brother was making about it being the first sort of televised execution almost on... I quite concur with the point you made there about lionising him in his death. At the end of the day, he was a bloke who shot people and killed them.
Absolutely.
Whatever state of mind he was in, you can't really excuse it. But
shall we get off our soapboxes?
We'll get off our soapboxes, shall we? And what shall we turn to next?
We can turn to book reading, if you like, which is about as far away as you can get. Ben's done a lovely story about how book reading is not only not really having a resurgence, but the fact that people talking about the books they've read are. Now, this actually, I remember being in Santa Monica years ago and walking to a bookshop.
Get
and they
you.
Were also,
I remember being in Santa Monica.
I was Santa Monica.
Are you going to come up with, I remember being in Prizeley?
No, but there was this women's reading group there, and I thought, well, how I used to just come and sit and read a book and then talk about it. But apparently this is happening all over Shropshire. We've spoken to Alma Petford, who's from Badger near Old Brighton, and she's just read a book on the South Pole and now wants to dash off to the Antarctic. I think her family are hoping she's not actually going to follow through with that. But it's really interesting the amount of people, and there's actually what you call book club geeks who keep lists of the books that they have read in their pockets so they can check every time they go. So I think it's quite a nice thing. It also helps, I think, people who are lonely. It gives them another reason to get out and go and talk.
The County's Library Service, I mean, that's been a success story in recent times, and the number of people who either go to libraries or go on sort of mobile sort of connections with them, that they're doing really well. James, have you been reading books?
I haven't. I've been out filming a fascinating tale over the last few days. Telford Beacon Council, again, they're looking at bringing steam trains back into the Ironbridge Gorge. Coalbrook Down, looking to stop at Coalbrook Down. There's all sorts of options about bringing a line off the main line or bringing it through Horsehay. There's already steam trusts there. There's plans to bring the steam trains over the road on a big bridge.
They've been talking about it for years and years. Is this because of the park and ride? They want to do park and ride into Ironbridge.
I think they're going down that sort of route. But I think, as ever these days, it's all down to money. European funding's been cut back, heritage funding's been cut back, and it's about making plans and then seeing if the money's there, I think.
If it went from Bridge North to Ironbridge, would that be through Bridge North Golf Club, or would that be... Is there a route that it would follow?
There is. There is a line from the Severn Valley from Bridge North to Ironbridge, but I mean, it would need years of work and millions of pounds of investment. I think Severn Valley Railway, the bosses there have said... Well, yeah, it's a nice idea, but it's going to take a lot of consultation, a lot of work. I think you're talking a decade before you, even if you start talking about it now.
I think there's a problem that there's a tunnel under Bridge North High Street that, to be honest, would need millions of pounds of work just to make it viable, and there's housing estates over other parts. So
wouldn't it make it easier just to stick them on a boat? There's a
Probably,
river.
Yeah.
That's
there's
a better idea.
What, the trains?
Well, no, the trains. No, but if you're looking to do a park and ride and you want to get people from Bridge North to Ironbridge, you've got the... River Severn going straight through it.
They could do a connection. I think we're brainstorming.
Yeah, we are.
I've got something that doesn't cost too much money, but involves lots of people, and that's school dinners.
Oh, yeah.
Big success story in Shropshire with the take-up going not quite through the roof, but certainly through the canteen doors. Mm. The number of people who want to eat at schools now has increased substantially. There is next week a feature on that where we've been out to a couple of schools in Shrewsbury, seen what's on the menu, had a little taste, and then reported on the success of those there. I have to say, until writing it, I'd never eaten a school dinner.
Really?
Life.
Did you not have school dinners when you were at school?
No, I took cheese cobs and all jam sandwiches.
Yeah. You see, it's what you do when you... I always had a school dinner, and now my children go in and they have a hot dinner. But I think school meals are... They're still... When I speak to them, what did you have for pudding? Jam, sponge and custard. Well, I had jam, sponge and custard. Mm. That was like 25 years ago. So I don't know how much the menus really have changed. I think you can still get chips or choose from new potatoes. How many kids actually choose the new potatoes as opposed to the chips?
Absolutely.
I think it would be different.
I think, don't you have them on different days? You have like chips on one day, and then you have new potatoes on one day, or do they stuff every day?
I've got absolutely no... You see, I should know more. But the thing is, I said earlier that I wonder how many of these children are... The uptake is because the kids are desperate to eat, you know, these school meals as opposed to go to the chippy around the corner. Or how much is actually parents like me who just want to know when they're getting at the end of the day that their child has had a hot meal, because you might not have
absolutely
the time to do it. So you can get away with giving them a ham sandwich without feeling too guilty that they haven't had, you know, meat and three veg.
I guess kind of responsible parenting, if you know, and also economically, if you can send somebody to school and know that they're going to get a decent meal at not too much money, it's often better value and better for the youngster to do that.
Yeah.
I feel as though I'm ascending to a soapbox again. I'll
quickly
get off.
We've been on the soapboxes today.
We'll stick with food.
I like being on the soapbox.
And with food, there is this week as well another feature to look out for. The Ludlow Farmers Market was launched 10 years ago. That's celebrating its birthday this Thursday. And that's going to have a demonstration from the Michelin-starred chef Will Holland, who will be sourcing local ingredients and then creating a dish just from ingredients he finds in Ludlow and at the market. So an interesting one there to look out for. Much else on the horizon?
Anything sport-wise?
Tomorrow we've got our first set of highlights from AFC Telford United. They played Prescott Cables yesterday in a pre-season friendly. So it's really kicking off football now, and from here on in, it's football every week.
There's
really
kind of been loads of changes at Telford and Shrewsbury in the close season.
Absolutely. Obviously, both teams have new managers. Andy Sinton at Telford United, Graham Turner at Shrewsbury Town, both of a bit of an unknown quantity, so a lot of excitement ahead of the new season.
Turner, you'd imagine, will do reasonably well with Shrewsbury, because he's been around the block with Wolves, with Hereford years and years and years, so...
He's a bit of a returning hero, really. All the fans wanted him, and eventually, you know...
Steady pair of hands, I suppose.
Mm. I don't know anything about football. I can talk to you about golf a bit. Tiger Woods has changed his putter after 11 years.
And the tour. The tour's
just been brilliant this year. It has been absolutely superb. I don't know if anybody saw it when they were in the mountain stages, but brilliant. Alberto Contador looks really in form. Lance Armstrong's tour is obviously over. Certainly it'll be interesting to see how Mark Cavendish fares on any of the races this week.
We had a great win towards the end of last week, but wasn't his rider was accused of headbutting one of the
Mark Renshaw is an Australian and he is the best lead out man in the business, and what's what they call in the Tour de France, the man who comes right up in front of the sprinter before he goes for the line. And Mark Renshaw did.
Makes a puff and then...
Well, yeah, he couldn't take his hand off the handlebar, so he's got to get rid of him somewhere. So, yes, he gave him a few headbutts, but there's no reason why you can't headbutt somebody, is there, if they're in your way?
Okay, remember, don't try this at home. That's about wrapping it up for this week. Don't forget to join us on Monday for your news bulletins. We'll be back next Sunday with a Sunday supplement. And thank you very much for joining us today.